Welcome to Expressing Emotion Safely, episode 37 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I am Kathleen Owegon. We all struggle from time to time with how to express our emotions. We often either react to our feelings without thought, causing others to get upset, or we avoid talking about our feelings altogether in an effort to prevent high emotion and conflict, which, in the long run, can cause us to accumulate a lot of unpacked emotional baggage. Today, we'll talk about some other options that might be more helpful to us and to our interpersonal dynamics with others. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is advice I frequently give to my communication coaching clients. If you want others to deeply hear you, you must help them to feel safe doing so. Expressing our emotions, especially when we feel those emotions strongly, is something that is very difficult for many people to do, or to do successfully, and in ways that help build understanding. I think there are probably many reasons for this, including how we were brought up, our personality, our comfort level with communication in general, and feelings specifically, and often our past experiences. The past experiences I'm referring to are usually disappointing or even upsetting experiences with how other people reacted to our expression of strong emotion. Those experiences are the kind that most people go out of their way to avoid repeating. My observation is that when communication of strong emotion goes awry and results in undesirable outcomes, there are two aspects of that communication that likely contributed to that. The compulsion or belief that we have to act on our emotions when we feel them strongly, and or the practice most people have of demonstrating their emotions in how they communicate them, such as yelling at someone to let them know how angry we are. One of the most powerful lessons I learned in my conflict resolution education is that in order for people to be able to deeply hear one another, which is foundational to mutual understanding, they must first feel safe in doing so. If we don't feel safe in hearing what another person is telling us, we put up our emotional shields, which prevents us from truly hearing them. Or we're planning our defense, which takes our attention away from what the other person is trying to communicate to us. Sometimes we mentally escape by ceasing to listen altogether. There are ways, however, to help another person to feel safe in hearing what you need them to know, even when there's high emotion present. Let's look first at the compulsion or belief that we have to act on our emotions when we feel them strongly. Our emotions often motivate and drive our actions, whether or not we're conscious of that. We often act upon our emotions without even thinking about it, and the more strongly we feel an emotion, the more likely we are to do that. Unfortunately, the less thought we put into those actions, the more likely we are to act in ways we later regret, or that, at the very least, work against mutual understanding and relationship building. This is where mindfully engaging the neutral observer inside of you can be of immeasurable help. I've discussed the neutral observer perspective in episode 17 and other episodes. In the neutral observer perspective, you view something, in this case your emotions, without any frame of reference, judgment, or desire to act, simply looking at it from an objective perspective, like you might notice that the sky is blue or that a car just drove by. From the neutral observer perspective, practice noticing all of your emotions as often as possible. Notice how you feel when you wake up in the morning, how you feel as events and conversations happen during the day, not just the emotions you feel strongly, but also the more ordinary feelings. Pay attention to what thoughts follow those emotions. Notice how your body responds. As you practice this, refrain from thinking about what action you might take based on that emotion. Just passively, neutrally observe what you're feeling. The more you do this on an ongoing basis, the more emotionally self-aware you will become. This is one aspect of what is known as emotional intelligence, which I will talk about more in next week's episode of this podcast. The more you develop the practice of neutrally observing your emotions on an ongoing basis without acting on them in the moment, the easier it will become to do that when you are feeling strong emotion. The goal is that when you feel a strong emotion, you will be able to first observe it from the neutral observer perspective, examine the emotion and its origin, then mindfully decide how you want to respond to that emotion, what you might want to do or say, and how. Here's what that might look like. Someone says something that offends you. In neutral observer mode, you notice that you just got triggered. Think of what you're observing as being like a train that's going by. In the first train car, you recognize that your heart rate picked up, and you felt a flash of anger, and that something inside you closed down toward the speaker. As the second train car comes into view, you notice that you want to judge the person. As more cars come into view, you neutrally observe that you feel the compulsion or obligation to act, to tell them in no uncertain terms how wrong and insensitive they are, or maybe even find a way to forcibly try to make them stop saying what offended you, or to cause them to feel the pain and upset that you're experiencing in that moment. It is normal and natural to have this kind of reaction when someone says something that offends you, and it's normal and natural to want to jump on that train and drive it full steam into conflict with that person. Doing so will not help you to be heard and understood, and it will not inspire the other person to want to see your perspective or to speak or act differently. So in this moment, do not act. Just observe and note to yourself all that you see about yourself and your emotions in the moment. One way to help you do that is to say to yourself, "In this moment, I..." Then finish that sentence with what you see or feel. It might be, "In this moment, I feel sad and scared." Or, "In this moment, I feel righteous." Or, "In this moment, I want them to feel as bad as I feel." Or, "In this moment, I want to punch their lights out." Again, don't act. Just observe. Okay. Once you've identified what emotions you're feeling and why, you have more clarity with which to consider what about that you want to communicate and how. Looking back on what I shared about the anatomy of conscious communication in episode 2 of this podcast, you may recall that the first component of conscious communication is determining your goal for the outcome of the communication. Ideally, not what you want the other person to do or not do, but a larger, more overarching goal for the positive impact a successful conversation will have. What it might accomplish, such as increased awareness, understanding, or empathy, or perhaps an improved dynamic or more positive relationship. If you make your goal about what someone else will or will not do, you will be more likely to become attached to that outcome and pressure them to do as you wish. That likely won't lead to improved mutual understanding or help you to move past your upset. It will likely take you in the opposite direction. When you contemplate how you will respond to the offense you feel, think about your overarching goal. That, in a sense, is determining the desired destination, where you want to go from this point. You may decide to have a conversation about it. You may decide not to at this time. Your goal will help you figure that out. Since in this episode of this podcast, we're talking about expressing your emotions safely, we're going to presume that your goal, for the sake of this example, is to help the other person understand the potential impact of their words. So you decide that you need to talk to them about your experience of what they said. Remembering that people hear and understand better when they feel safe, Think carefully about what you want to communicate to them and what will be the best timing, the best words, and the best delivery with which to do that in a way that supports the other person to feel safe hearing you. Let's look at each of these in detail. To determine what you want to communicate, think back on what you noticed when you were looking from the neutral observer perspective at what happened. When you think about the best timing, consider that if you try to have the conversation when your emotions are high, you will be less likely to be mindful and in your wisdom. Even though that may be when you feel most courageous and compelled to have the conversation, I encourage you to wait until you've had some time to go into neutral observer mode and tap into your higher wisdom. You'll have a better chance of fulfilling your goal for the outcome of the conversation, or at least having a positive outcome of some sort. Think about what timing will be best for them to be able to give you their full attention. Plan accordingly. Try to be mindful throughout the planning process of what will help them feel safe hearing you. That means you should consider where to have the conversation and what level of privacy you should have to help both of you feel safe and relaxed as you talk. Then ask yourself, how can I express my observations neutrally and in a way they will feel safe hearing? You might want to use iMessages, which I discussed in episode 10. Using an iMessage to extend the invitation to have the conversation, you might say, I noticed when we were talking the other day and I heard you say, fill in the blank, I started to feel upset. I'm hoping that you might be willing to discuss that with me a bit, because I think it could be helpful to you to understand how some people might be impacted by the things you say, and talking about it will help me to let go of my upset. Would you be willing to do that with me, please? What did you notice about what I just said and how I said that? I hope that you noticed that I started with a neutral observation about the experience and the emotion that came up. Did you notice that I said, I heard you say, rather than you said? This allows room for the possibility that I misheard or misinterpreted what they said, and for them to offer clarification about what they intended to communicate. I also hope you noticed my tone of voice. I focused on using a tone that was neutral and inviting, without condemnation or pressure. I chose my words and my tone of voice with the intention to communicate that it would be safe for them to have this conversation with me, and that there was benefit to them for doing so. Depending on the situation, you might also talk about the benefits to your relationship from having the conversation and increasing understanding between the two of you. You might also use phrases like, I'd like to share my perspective, or I'd like to share my experience of that with you. So, being mindful of your tone of voice, you tell them what you want to talk about, why you want to talk about it, what you hope to accomplish, and the benefits to you both. Then extend the invitation. Would you be willing to do that with me, please? If they say yes, thank them. If they say no, ask them what they would need to help them feel comfortable having the conversation, or what concerns they have about having the conversation. Again, remember to be mindful of your tone of voice. It won't help to have a frustrated or pressuring tone in your voice. Try to keep your tone calm, inquiring, and invitational. If they continue to be resistant to having the conversation, I encourage you to simply reflect back their response in that observational tone of voice, to let them know that you understand and to acknowledge their perspective. Then tell them that the invitation will remain open and that you hope they will one day feel comfortable accepting the invitation and having the conversation with you. Okay, now that I've described this generally, let me demonstrate using a more specific example from a letter from a listener who wrote, Dear Kathleen, I recently got into a big fight with one of my closest friends about a comment she made about undocumented immigrants. She said that if people can't get their act together enough to enter our country the right way, they don't deserve to be here, and all they're going to do is drag our country down. I told her she's a bigot. She started yelling at me, calling me a bigot. She just went off on me, and it turned into a big shouting match. Finally, I just hung up on her. That was 3 months ago, and we haven't spoken since. Even though I now see that she is much more conservative than I am, I still miss our friendship and the support we gave each other. I really want to clear the air with her and try to repair our friendship, but I don't know how, and I'm afraid if I try, I'll just make matters worse. Should I even try, or should I just let the friendship go? If you think I should try to talk to her, please tell me how. Sincerely, Upset and Confused. Here's my reply. Dear Upset and Confused, thank you for your letter. You ask some great questions. I recommend first asking yourself what your overarching goal is for the outcome of your next action. Reading your letter, it appears that one possible goal might be to restore the friendship. When thinking about that possibility, consider asking yourself what the benefits and downsides of that might be. You might want to write those down in two separate lists side by side to help you see them more clearly and in proportion to one another. You also indicated that you're considering letting the friendship go. Ask yourself what your goal would be in doing that. What are the benefits and downsides of that option? If you choose this option, ask yourself if it would be helpful to the two of you to have a closure conversation, and if so, how? I don't feel right about advising you about which option you should choose. You are the best person to determine that, and you're the one who has to live with the outcome of your choice. So I hope that you will find a way to make that decision yourself, perhaps by asking the questions I just proposed. And, of course, your friend may have her own opinion about whether the friendship should be restored or abandoned. You may want to ask her about that before proceeding too far with your own decision. Regardless of whether or not you try to save the friendship, if you decide to have a conversation with her about what happened, here are some approaches you might consider. First, as you look back on the conversation that triggered you both so much, try to step outside of your own perspective to see the situation from the perspective of someone who is watching the scene neutrally, with no opinion, just noting the sequence of events without judging or condemning them. For example, when she said, "If people can't get their act together enough to enter our country in the right way, they don't deserve to be here, and all they're going to do is drag our country down," the feelings that came up in me were anger, sadness, and disappointment because I have such a different opinion and I thought our thinking was more aligned. That's an example of that neutral observer perspective. Now that you've reviewed the past and what didn't work for you, it's time to look forward. What is your overarching goal for the outcome of the conversation you want to have with her? Not what you want her to do or not do, but what impact do you want this conversation to have? Possibilities I imagine might be to learn something about each other, to increase your mutual understanding of one another, to strengthen your connection, to have peaceful severance of the friendship, to have closure, etc. Once you've identified your goal, think about the best way to accomplish that goal. What are the best timing, choice of words, and ways to say those words to support your goal? For example, if your goal is to increase your mutual understanding of one another, what do you want her to understand about you? How will you communicate that to her in a way she will feel safe hearing? Using an I message, you might share the neutral observation you made to yourself in the first step of this process, which could sound like this. I noticed that when I heard you say, "If people can't get their act together enough to enter our country the right way, they don't deserve to be here, and all they're going to do is drag our country down," the feelings that came up in me were anger, sadness, and disappointment because I have a different opinion and I thought our thinking was more aligned. My thinking regarding undocumented immigrants is this. Then, using your I messages, share your thinking. Then ask yourself what you want to understand about her thinking and ask her. That might sound like this. I'd like to understand how you arrived at those opinions. Would you be willing, please, to tell me more about your thoughts on that? Make sure and use an inquiring and invitational tone of voice, rather than a tone of voice that could sound like you're interrogating her or challenging her thinking. You want her to feel safe answering your questions. Thank her for any information she shares with you, even if you disagree with her thinking. Whatever she shares with you, I hope you will see it as a gift of insight. After the two of you have shared your perspectives with one another, consider asking her how important it is to her that the two of you agree on this topic or other controversial topics, and ask yourself that question too. This will help the two of you determine whether or not you want to continue the friendship if you disagree on controversial topics. If the two of you decide that you want to continue the friendship in spite of those kinds of disagreements, it will be very helpful to that continuing relationship if you two negotiate and come to agreements on how you will handle differing opinions in the future. If the two of you decide that you don't want to continue the friendship, think about the best way to have closure with one another in a way that neither of you will carry hard feelings toward the other, and ask her thoughts on that as well. See what you can negotiate to achieve that. To prevent this kind of conflict in the future, whether with the person you wrote about or anyone else, I encourage you to try to be very aware at all times of what emotions come up in you in reaction to what others say and do, observing those emotions from the neutral observer perspective without feeling the need to act on them. Just notice them and acknowledge them. If you feel the need to talk about your emotions in the moment, try to describe them observationally, in a way the other person can feel safe hearing. You don't need to communicate your emotion through harsh words delivered at high volume, as we often feel inclined to do when we're feeling emotion strongly. The other person will likely not feel safe hearing you, and will likely shut down, disengage, or counterattack if they feel attacked. Neutrally observing and describing what you feel in the ways I just described can have a far more powerful yet less damaging impact. I hope this is helpful to you and that you will soon no longer be upset and confused. I hope those of you listening today we'll have a sense now of how you might be able to express your emotion safely and in a way that the other person can truly and deeply hear and understand you. This will help strengthen relationships of all kinds and in every context. You will find so much benefit in looking at yourself neutrally, looking at your emotional responses from that neutral observer perspective, and mindfully planning the best way to communicate with other people your experiences, your thoughts, your emotions, and your needs. We all have the ability to communicate these things in ways that others can feel safe hearing. And when we do that, relationships are strengthened and become more mutually enriching and long-lasting. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please let me know. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. I look forward to hearing from you with your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. I'm also happy to answer any questions you may have about anything I've shared with you. All you have to do is email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON @bridgesofpeace.com. I will reply within 2 business days. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.